Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon this morning is taken from the Holy Gospel, the words of our Lord Jesus, where he speaks of him as being the bread of life. Therefore, today our theme, Jesus the Great I Am, is your bread of life. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I know that many of you, moms anyway, when you go shopping, I'm sure that you take the can or the box or the package off the shelf, and the first thing you do is you turn it over and you read the labels. You make sure that what's in this food is nutritious and healthy, not only for yourself, but especially for your family. After all, what mother would want to serve food to her family that is poisonous, that will ultimately kill them? What father or mother would want to buy food and put it on the table for their children that will eventually rot their veins, rot their brain, rot their stomach, and kill them? But you know, dear friends, your father knows very well the food that you need. And he doesn't need to read labels. No, your Father in heaven, he sent one who is the true food or the true bread of life. When it comes to Jesus, there's no label to read. You know what you're getting. You're getting, as Jesus said, I am the living bread. You're receiving living bread. And anyone who comes to me will never hunger. Namely, he who believes in me will positively never thirst. Wouldn't that be great if you could eat something here on earth and never have to eat again? Actually, as I think about that, that would be rather boring, wouldn't it? But I would eat banana cream pie all the time if that would save me. But I know that banana cream pie will not save me. Nor will any pie save me, even though there's only one thing better than pie, and that's more pie. You see, there's nothing better than Jesus, though, and he is the one who saves me and you. Last week, seminarian Mason spoke to you about manna. In English, we pronounce it manna. In Hebrew, manna means, what is it? Remember there in the desert, when the Israelites woke up and God had given them manna and it was there covering the desert floor. And the first thing that the Israelites said was, manna, what is it? They thought that this was food that Moses had sent to them, as we heard in our text this morning. No, it wasn't Moses who gave them manna. This manna came from heaven itself. But you see, there's a greater food that has come from heaven, not only for these Jews, not only for the Israelites, but for each and every one of you. And his name is Ego I Me. I am, as Jesus said. I am, and there is no one else. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is telling them, here in our text this morning, and he's telling you and me that he is Yahweh. Yes, Jesus is God. And he is the true bread of life that has come down from heaven so that you can eat of him and never die. Jesus is the life-giving bread. And anyone who comes to him will never ever hunger or thirst. We heard in our text that when the Jews heard that Jesus had come down from heaven, they begin to grumble. I know that there was a time when I would correct my sons and they would grumble against me. They didn't like being corrected. The Jews didn't like hearing Jesus say that, first of all, he is I Am, which is the holy name, Yahweh. And they certainly didn't like hearing that this Jesus, whom they know quite well, and not only do they not know Jesus, they know his father Joseph, they know his mother Mary, they know his brothers and sisters. They know that Jesus is born in Nazareth, and that he is a Galilean. How can he say he has come down from heaven? That's no different than a person standing down here on the corner of Shum Road, standing there and saying, I'm the Messiah. If you believe in me, I'll save you. Which one of you would believe him or her? Yet this Jesus proved that he is the bread of life. They grumbled against him. They grumbled against him because they did not believe in him. It's interesting that in our text, and as you look at your bulletin insert there at the gospel lesson, you'll see that John calls them the Jews. Did you know that John uses this term 70 times in his gospel lesson? The Jews, the Jews, the Jews. These were the enemies, those who were plotting to kill Jesus. And these people here, the crowd that had followed him from Bethsaida, they had just been fed there miraculously with 2 loaves and 5 fish. They had found Jesus and they were wanting more bread. They didn't believe that Jesus is the bread that's come down from heaven. They just believe that he is the one who can make bread for them. You see, my friends, these people are no different than you or me. They think of their belly first, and then they think of those things spiritual last. But Jesus isn't speaking of physical food, as you and I now know. He is speaking of true food, of spiritual food that is given to you and me that will save us. Jesus answered them and said, quit grumbling amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's an interesting word, to be drawn by the Father. I remember when I was 11 years old and I was asked to bring a tractor weight to put on the old 4020. That tractor weight weighed about 100 pounds. And I was 11 years old and I thought I could handle it. Well, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't lift it at all. So what did I do? I dragged it. I dragged it all the way over about 100 feet to the tractor. And believe me, I still remember it so well because I almost dropped it on my foot. The same here. The same analogy God is saying, that the Father drags us to Jesus. That doesn't sound too appealing, does it? You and I have been dragged to Jesus. We have been drawn to him. You see, the old Adam truly doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, with this cross, and with what's on the altar this morning. The old Adam is fat and happy, eating the bread of this life, receiving those ingredients mixed into their food, which will ultimately kill them. They're happy with that. They're happy with false teaching, hearing that when they go to church, that it's what they do will save them. It's what they think and what they say is what's important. Oh, you don't need to read the Bible. Just listen to the preacher. For every day's a Friday. And since every day's a Friday, life is good. You and I know that life isn't always good nor fair. You have troubles in your life. I know you do. I have troubles in my life. And I know that you know that. Why do we have these troubles? Because we're no different than these Jews. We are poor, miserable sinners, just as you and I have confessed. We sin against God's law daily and much. Sometimes we want Jesus to be our friend, and that's it. Sometimes we want Jesus to do this for us or that for us, but we never look at Jesus and say, he's my bread of life. He is the one who has saved me. Here at the cross is where I was given a free gift, the forgiveness of all my sins. We, like these Jews, we think earthly. But my friends, we are Christians, and Christ lives in us, and we in him. Therefore, we must think eternally. We must think as Jesus thinks. As Paul tells us in the epistle this morning, we are to be imitators of Christ. So where does this lead us now? Jesus tells the Jews that the prophet, what the prophet wrote, the prophet Isaiah wrote, is true, and they shall be taught by God. You see, a Christian cannot teach him or her or herself. You cannot stay at home and read the Bible and say that you're a Christian. It just doesn't work. For we know, as Scripture tells us, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Yes, many have this false idea that they don't need to come to church, that church is for the weakling, that here in church it's just a waste of time. After all, the people who come here, you and me, we're just hypocrites. No, we're sinners, but most of all, we're forgiven sinners. The true hypocrite is the one who says out there that we are the hypocrites, for they know the truth. They know who Jesus is, but they're like these Jews. What? He came down from heaven? What? He was born of a virgin? What? He rose on the third day? None of that's possible. No, that's not what heaven's about. Heaven's about me doing for Jesus what I think he needs. That's not Christianity. That's eating food of this world that will destroy us, and has and will destroy them. My friends, manna does not save, and the things of this world will not save you. Being tolerant will not save you. Eating the right food will not save you. Having all the money in the world will not save you. Having this kind, this color of tractor or that color of tractor, it's nice, but it doesn't save. There's nothing in this life that you can do. There's no manna that you can partake of that will save you. No, there's only one manna. There's only one bread of life that has and will save you. And that man went here to the cross. There Jesus tells us that it's his flesh that saves us. And the flesh that saves us is the flesh that was nailed to a cross. It was the flesh that cried out, "It is finished!" And it truly was. Your sin was redeemed. In the sight of God, when Jesus cried out, there the man who knew no sin became sin for you. When God heard those words, you had the forgiveness of sins. You see, the Jews weren't listening. They were not believing. That's because they are unregenerate. They are spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins. And it's the same way today. There are people who say that they are Christians, but they're not listening. They're not listening to what Jesus truly says, that the forgiveness of sins is found in only one man, and his man is, and his man's name is Yahweh, ego I me, Jesus. Yes, even Christians complain, and they moan, and they groan, and they grumble, and they always find fault. But at the same time, when that grumbling Christian comes here, they hear and they confess that they are too a sinner. And that even with all their mumbling and grumbling and moaning and groaning, Jesus still went to the cross, and he still died for you, and he still forgives you of your sins if you truly believe in your heart that he is the bread of life. For your very life, my dear friend, for your very life is believing in Jesus, that he came from heaven, that he was born of a virgin, that he did die on a cross, and that he did go into a tomb, and that he did rise on the third day, that he descended into hell, and that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there he intercedes for you, and that today he is here present today in blood and in body to feed you once again, to nourish your soul with food that is truly good, right, and salutary. Food that will save you from all your sins. Yes, Jesus is the great I Am. He is your bread of life. And he is here today to feed you that bread of life for the forgiveness, for the complete forgiveness of all your sin. Thanks be to the great I am. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.